What was interesting about her course on the chemotherapy, which I found in a lot of professional women, is that, and not to say that it doesn't happen to everybody, but I think people think of themselves in general as being invincible and that there's a lot of mind over matter. And for these young women, of course, the matter overtakes the mind eventually. You know, you feel tired and a little nauseated and your hair falls out and you get a little depressed. You know, they're in menopause. There's a lot of issues that go on. And that, of course, was the case for this woman as well. The other thing I see with the young women is that they sometimes actually have a lot of toxicity with AC. So I would love it, you know, if we knew who needed AC or didn't in the neoadjuvant setting. And there's some fascinating work going on in that area as well, using docetaxel carboplatin backbone that our colleague Priyanka Sharma has been working on in Kansas. And, you know, I think that you do trade some toxicity in terms of nausea throughout, but if you could avoid the AC, that would be nice for a number of reasons. Anyway, she has had a fabulous clinical response and imaging response on MRI, but has really struggled, I think, physically and psychologically with the treatment.
I'm sure, and I wonder, I'm sure it must be pretty interesting to go to work as a, she's working as a clinician?
Well, eventually, I always say to people, you know, let's take it week by week. She did work in her capacity for the first probably 12 weeks during the paclitaxel, although she found it increasingly hard. And, you know, I said to women, if you burn the candle at both ends, it can be harder and harder to get through the chemo. But by the time she got to AC, she was willing to take off on short-term disability, which was really critical.
Yeah, it's an interesting experience, I'm sure, particularly for somebody who is going to be seeing patients. You wonder how it affects their perception. We once did a roundtable of 12 radiation oncologists, urologists, and medical oncologists who had prostate cancer.
Oh, fascinating.
And it was really interesting. You know, some of these people had, you know, very low grade, 100% curable, and were completely convinced they were going to die for sure. So you wonder, when people go through it, when they go back to practice, you know, how it affects the way they see their patients.
Well, you know, one thing that's intriguing, I think, and, you know, this is all anecdotal data, but in general, my physician patients, and sometimes others, but a lot of time physician patients who are just working incredibly long hours and seeing sick patients, and, you know, they push and push in the beginning to work through the chemotherapy. They get to the surgery and they're like done. You know, they need time to recover physically and psychologically and sort of get back on track. So a number of my patients have really needed to take, you know, time off, 6 months, sometimes 12 months after they finish, in order to really get back on track and adjust to the fact that you are a survivor, or some people say thriver, you know, where you really are on the other end of something that was really terrifying, and you're still sort of getting through that and surviving, you know, whether or not you're on hormone therapy or you're done with chemo and sort of hoping that the cancer doesn't ever come back.
So, yeah, and really can imagine how much that would affect the way people see their patients in their own practice and, you know, how they relate to them. So let's, we started out here, this lady sounds like she's on her way in a positive direction. It'll be interesting to see what happens 5 and 10 years from now. Maybe she'll have kids and be successful in practice. That would be really, really inspiring and great, and I'm sure it happens a lot.